This episode is brought to you by Boar's Head. If you're looking for something delicious, look no further than Boar's Head Pitcraft Turkey. It's slow-roasted with real mesquite wood chips to give it a real pit smoke flavor. And its authentic dry rub, made of paprika, brown sugar, and Mexican chilies, gives it a bold taste you need to experience yourself. Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere. Find Pitcraft Turkey at your local Boar's Head retailer.
This episode is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and they have plenty of wireless plans to choose from, like the $45 Silver Unlimited plan with unlimited high-speed data, 5G coverage, and no contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Learn more at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Rorick Honda houses an inventory of pre-owned certified cars, but like Christmas coming, the dealership in Bloomfield just received a few more new CRVs and Passports.
Just in time to partake in the Jagoffs, hop in to go shopping Black Friday contest at the mall at Robinson. You and three friends get picked up and driven to the mall for a morning fuel up, a lunch, and shopping. All you have to do is tell us your story. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now we start the Jagoff podcast turkey trot style from
the YMCA Homewood.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff? This is the Jagoff Podcast.
And now, everybody, do your favorite turkey thing. Go. No, I'm just kidding. We just told Bruce, like, this is going to be so easy. And he goes, wait, you just told me to make a turkey thing? Yeah. All right, so we were hoping you'd all have surgical gloves. You blow them up and draw the turkey on it. But no, that's okay. So this is John and Rachel, if you're listening to the podcast for the very first time. And we are we would hope that you would go subscribe to it. We would hope that you would listen to it. And if you're on iTunes, we'd appreciate it if you say something nice every once in a while.
Only nice. I always say if you have nothing nice to say, then shh, say nothing. So this is where we tell you, make sure you are reading the blog posts every day. We call out jagoffs, whether it is people in rush hour, people parking, people doing crazy things, things in headlines. But we also are doing some of our fun jagging around with, because we visited Mercer County and we're going back. So you're going to see a series of going to Mercer County and how to prepare for the shopping season. So that's going to be lots of fun, where we profile all of these great places. But the other three things we've been talking about, if you follow us religiously, is one, we are on Kelly on air every day at 4:55 with Talk of the Town, and you have to say it that way, Town, where we tell you what is interesting and what to know about what's going on in Pittsburgh. Every Friday, we talk to Alyssa about
the Jagoff of the week. So Elista at 10:55 on Fridays, she looks through all of the blog posts, and we come to a decision of who gets really the Jagoff of the Week award. So you can listen there. Yeah, usually it's 10:55 unless we're late calling her, which we have been doing that. Sometimes it's 11:55. But also, don't forget, as we go down, Leslie Bonsey, one of our favorite Pittsburgh dietitians who's worked with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers, as far as she is a no-shaming dietitian. Like, if you want to eat carbs, she's like, that's cool, but let's do something else in addition to that. Anyways, every 2 weeks on our GJET column, you can ask questions of Leslie. And coming into the turkey trot season, Rach, and turkey eating season, and turkey leftover season, this is a really good time for Leslie to shine.
Well, because it's not the turkey to stay away from. It's all the other stuff. So, like she said, have 7 glasses of wine instead of 8 whenever you're dealing with your families during the holiday season. So that all of that banter leads us up to, we have been so looking forward to having this podcast about the turkey trot, because John and I could show you our mock Emmy Award winning, you know, the way we were like, oh, we get to work with the turkey trot.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the stuff we did. So exciting.
Taylor Swift. It was like.
Yeah, I didn't do that. John did. John's a Swiftie. Anyway, so we get to be here in the Homewood YMCA because we get to talk to some really important people who are behind a Pittsburgh tradition that we all celebrate so often. And it's certainly, if it isn't a tradition, you're going to have it become one. If you heard us talking on Rick Dayton, which shout out to Rick, thank you so much for having us chat that through. We did call out that he should be there, that Paul Alexander should be there. You should make this your tradition, because they have it in different segments. They make it family friendly. And we have all of the people involved here today to tell us a little bit more about the Turkey Trot. Who wants to start?
Let's go with Bruce.
Oh, sure. Well, Bruce pointed to JB, but yeah. All right, Bruce, since we're fast friends, talk to us a little bit about how did the Turkey Trot even start? Like, you guys at the YMCA do so many different things, as we know, but why the Turkey Trot?
Well, that's an interesting question, and that really goes back to this, we're in our 31st year.
It's that many years. Wow.
Yeah. So we're in our 31st year, and I think I'm probably the closest person to the original Turkey Trot. I've been with the Y 28 years. So I remember in its infancy, and I remember it kind of, and have watched it just with great pride, kind of grow and evolve into the race that it is today. Our last in-person event, 2019, we had about 7,500 participants. Wow. And kind of have watched it kind of also move into this kind of what it's actually supporting. So as you know, with everything else, as one thing starts out, it becomes something else. And it's really become about our food insecurity work and supporting all the great programming that we do within the city of Pittsburgh, from the Thelma Lovett YMCA to the in the Hazelwood community, in the Homewood community, and then Allegheny with their historic programming and residency of men over on the north side. So I've kind of watched that kind of evolve and really just grow. And about 10 years, 15 years ago, it really just began to take off to where we started getting a critical mass of repeat customers, I'll call them. And it was more of a family-driven event. You'd see families coming from out of town, and they were connected to whether it was our two YMCA camps, or family camp or resident camp, which is younger children. And these people would come in from out of town, and they would just decide that that's what they're going to do on Thanksgiving morning was do the 5K, whether that was running or walking. And I think that's the best part about the whole thing for me is, just like true to the YMCA, there's something there for everyone.
Right.
Everything from families to really elite runners that you see them running and you're like, man, slow down.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. All right.
What is wrong with you?
But the cool part is, and you're right, so if you want to get out and that's your workout for the day, cool, because you're supporting two great causes, actually. But if you want this to become a family thing where you meet down there and you kind of dress alike like you're going to Kennywood, you could family walk it with strollers. You were saying even dogs, right?
People strollers, bring dogs. Again, just true to form of the YMCA. Everybody's welcome, and everything is welcome, and so we're happy to have you. We'd love to just say, welcome back. I mean, it's going to be an in-person event.
Welcome back. That's the welcome back, Cotter.
And really, all this is just made possible by our just an incredible partner. We have three incredible partners, I should say. We have the UPMC Health Plan, which is the presenting sponsor, race coordinators and managers, P3R, and then what has really kind of become cool is over the last several years, we've just expanded this programming with Pittsburgh Community Food Bank.
She's like, she got the red pen out right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, in a minute, we're going to be the WCA.
Carolyn, a question for you in that. So the YMCA is in itself a nonprofit organization. And in the meantime, you're using the Turkey Trot not to raise money for you all, but to raise food and funds for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. So tell me about that a little bit. Like, you're using your leverage to help others. And why is that?
Because it's what Thumbai does best. Our real purpose, I think, is to be a convener. We've got this great big tent called the YMCA, and what we like to do best is bring everybody together for a stronger community. Our food security work is real. We have lent on the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Do I get it? Yes.
You showed up, Bruce. Yeah, he forgot greater. I love it.
We've lent on them.
Yes.
For years.
Sure.
We have a fabulous food distribution program here at the Homewood Y, also at Hazelwood in the Hazelwood community. They've been incredibly supportive of our program also in Allegheny, which Bruce referenced before. So it's only natural, frankly, at this time of year, when we all give thanks, when we all come together, when we all celebrate what we're grateful for, that we partner with them and as a community, a large community, come together to support others.
Wow. So. Have you done this before?
No. It's my first podcast.
Well, you did. You're fabulous at it. So that's sort of the great segue for you, Maria. And we've only talked over email, but we've worked with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank a couple of times. And obviously through the pandemic, even though we don't want to stress and continue to pine over the pandemic, it still exists and it's happening. And the struggle is still real. So it's amazing to me, just as a community member, to see how so many different organizations are helping the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that there's, just an incredible amount of overlap between the work that the YMCA does and the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank does. I know you guys serve a ton of children and families, and right now in our region, we serve at the food bank 11 counties, and 1 in 5 children in those counties experience food insecurity. Meaning,
that's crazy.
It is crazy, and it really pulls on your heartstrings that these children don't know where their next meal might be coming from. Mm-hmm. So it's been really incredible to see the support that we have seen from the community, including the Y and the Turkey Trot, because there's still definitely work to be done. I know a lot of people did really great things over the pandemic, but there are definitely families who are still struggling to recover from the effects of the pandemic.
Well, and if I can interject, so let's put it in perspective this way, and this is really for any nonprofit. The struggle existed before the pandemic. Yes. So there were multiple nonprofits, whatever it may have been, right? And in your case, Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, or in your case, the YMCA, where people were in need for shelter, for clothing, for food, the three staples in life.
Right.
And so that was already in place. Mm-hmm. Then you get hit with a pandemic. So then it was sort of this outpouring where people were like, oh my gosh, we're all in this. Mm-hmm. So let's try to give, because some of us aren't as bad. Yeah. And now we're post-ish, or we're getting post-ish. That doesn't change all the time, right? I mean, that's what people need to put in perspective.
Yeah. So when the pandemic hit, we immediately saw about a 31% increase. Wow. And the need for food security resources. So these were people who had never come to us before, never needed our services, and all of a sudden found themselves in a position where they had to come to us. So we were really grateful that because of the community support that we received, we were able to serve them. And I think that, you know, one thing that really spoke to a lot of people was that anyone can help. Anyone can do something. There's volunteer opportunities. Donating as little as $5 can help us provide up to 25 meals. And so I think that it really speaks to the fact that you don't have to break the bank to be able to make a huge difference in the lives of people in your community.
Great point. And this is not about collecting items so people can have a Thanksgiving dinner. This is about collecting items so that people can have dinners after Thanksgiving and going into the holidays. Is that, or going in, not the holidays, it's, they're continuing on in the other months, right?
Right. Yeah. So when we collect the food at the Turkey Trot and the funds, we'll be able to provide meals for months to come to families in need, which is really important.
So, and then we have to mention that there are collection points at Mancini's Bakery and McKee's Rocks and the Strip District. There will be collection points at, I don't know, is this a surprise
she
to Maria?
Yeah,
Rorik Honda, Rorik Toyota, where they're going to get in and get collection points. So let's. And all of your whys, yeah. So let's switch gears for a second, because JB, the guy in the middle, is the guy that's hosting us today.
Yeah.
And we are in this awesome state-of-the-art recording studio. We would love, you can see kind of the control room be over on that side. You can see the drum section here in the background. And there's a piano in the corner. JB's daughter's over there kind of directing us. So JB, so let's move off a turkey trot for 1 second, because you do relate, because you're providing the music for this episode. But tell us a little bit about the facility here, the facility in general, and let's get on the recording studio that you work in here.
Well, right now we're inside the Lighthouse Recording Studio, which is one part of a larger program meeting the needs of young people in this community to be creative, to learn technical skills, and to think about their future and have an outlet to create art. So the facility includes a collaboration space and a computer lab, and of course the recording studio. We run year round, and young people, mostly high school age, can come in here, take classes. We have clubs where it's sort of open expression, where you can come in, learn from teaching artists how to use the equipment, and whether you want to make an album, or you want to learn how to do posters, you want to learn Photoshop, you want to learn how to web design, you want help with your business that you're starting up, we're sort of here year-round to provide, instruction, mentorship, so young people can thrive. And I think the way it connects is that, you know, even though the arts is the center point of the work that we do here, we provide dinner every day. And so we have a kitchen downstairs. Kids can come
in
here.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we have a garden. We have a garden on the side of the building, and so, you know, we're part of that effort to make sure that, you know, kids in this community don't go hungry, because you can't start a business, or you can't do your homework, or you can't create a great song if you're starving. And so we see that, you know, meeting people's needs around food is part of their journey to being, you know, to launching yourself into a career or into your future.
I love the fact and you mentioned it a little bit here, is that you not only just teach people how to do music, you teach them business of music, right? So talk about that a little bit. Like, it's not about just coming in here and cutting a record. It's the whole deal.
Yeah, and it's all about mentorship. So, I mean, we have teaching artists who are all practitioners in their field. We have a DJ program. We have a DJ fellowship where young people are learning DJ skills. We have a summer music entrepreneurship where musicians are learning about streaming. They're learning about contracts. They're learning about all the things outside of the studio, per se, to be a well-rounded, you know, business person. And it all really is about mentorship in the sense, yeah, like I said, these teaching artists, they do what they teach. And it's all about those relationships so that young people can come in, ask the questions, and have that kind of experience.
And you're not just some guy they found. Like, hey, this JB sounds kind of good. You know, if you don't mind, and you're very humble, but you piqued my interest immediately. Talk a little bit about your background and where this program sort of started. Because I said to you, well, what kind of growth have you seen? Talk a little bit about that.
You know, I always start with, I'm the son of a sixth grade teacher and a musician. So education and music.
You're born into it. You don't have a choice.
Had no choice.
Yeah.
but took to it pretty quickly.
Sure.
Came up. I mean, I'm from New York. And
we don't even hear the accent, but we also don't hear Yinzer. We're going to have to help you.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of both, I suppose.
Okay.
Piano, saxophone, came up through school playing piano and sax, got into studio recording, hip hop production, that sort of thing. Got a degree in sociology, wanted to see how I could take sort of sociology and sort of intertwine that with music and the arts, and came here for a master's degree in musicology, and planned to get a quick degree and go back to New York, and started teaching, started doing things around Pittsburgh. Started hanging out at places like the Shadow Lounge and formed a band and all that sort of thing. So 20 years later,
we sucked you in.
Sucked me in. And, you know, never looked back, because I love Pittsburgh. I love Homewood. That's love great. The Y. So, yeah.
You could tell, too. So this place has grown just by your efforts and your talents and your things like that. And I love the fact that it becomes a safe haven for kids, because think about it. As parents, our biggest thing is, what are these kids doing when they're not in school? And how can we keep them off the street? And how can we? But beyond that, so you're serving a need, but you're also, like John said, serving this amazing opportunity for people to really make a career. Is there anything in particular or somebody that you could say, like, what I loved watching was, you don't have to use names, of course, but Little Billy, when Little Billy started and what things are like now?
I mean, there's so many stories, because every kid who comes through here has
a
different story about how this place has changed their lives. You know, back in 2013, we had a group of kids that made a song about the YMCA, and that was just the most amazing and well-produced song you can imagine. And we sent it around, and that led to the opportunity for, you know, six kids from Homewood to go to the YMCA International Youth Festival in Prague, Czech Republic. So these are six kids from the neighborhood performing in front of tens of thousands of youth and YMCA folks from around the country. So I just start with that story, as, you know, arts being transformative. You know, they come back with, you know, Twitter friends and Facebook friends from New Zealand and South Africa and all these places. But then, you know, and then more recently we had a young person who just got their associate's degree from CCAC in music technology. We have a partnership with CCAC, so on Saturdays, kids can come here and get accredited coursework in music technology. So there's a lot of different strands for young people to go. You know, this is really just the starting point to sort of branch off into a lot of different things, whether it's, you know, career, college, entrepreneurship.
This is where we're going to record the Jagoff Christmas album next year, right? So, Bruce, everybody, get your singing voice on. Yeah, we are going to do that. All right, so
I'll make you think twice.
Bruce, come on. Bruce, you have a voice for radio, for gosh sakes. You should be on this podcast on the regular. All right, so let's turn to Turkey Trot because we know, again, Thanksgiving Day, we need to know what's happening, and you guys have all been involved in different levels. And so the first question is we'll go down the line. We'll start with Bruce this time. Bruce, what's your favorite memory or story from a Turkey Trot in the past?
Oh, boy. Geez. You know, I think my favorite thing about it is just to see the family time. And I've touched on this several times in our conversations, as well as just the individual people that come. And they're just, you can tell that they're just from all different backgrounds and walks of life. And just the collaborative feeling of we're all here as one, we're having fun, we're supporting each other. And for me, and I keep saying, and I just keep coming back to it, I just think that it encapsulates what the Y is on a single day, on a holiday.
But didn't you tell me, I'm going to sort of feed this a little more. You started to tell me the other day, are you going to talk about that or you don't want to?
Yes, I can. I'm going to keep it high level so I don't
okay, that's
get
fine.
Emotional for
okay,
it.
Oh, I wanted to invoke tears. No, I'm just kidding. JK.
Yeah, well, we could watch my last video.
Okay, I know.
That'll give me tears too. So go ahead.
All right, so you started to tell us a little bit about someone who attends year after year, and that person has come, I believe, was it a father-son, something like that? And then you had another one.
Yeah, we have a couple, wheelchair-bound participants, and over the course of time, we've come to get to know them, and in different years, they've kind of led off the race, and then, coming across the bridge, you get to see, a father and I think father and daughter and a father and son team there where they're working together to ensure that somebody has success, whereas they wouldn't normally. And like I said, it just those sorts of things really kind of like touch you and get to you and make you realize that that there's just so much more than, it's more than just a race. It's an event. It's a thing that people remember. I mean, people are just so proud of their shirts. Someone will say, this shirt's from 1994. And it's just like, you can just see the lineage of how this has become part of their lives. And it's a way for families to connect when they come back into town. Mm-hmm. And everyone's just happy. And it's just, and given all that we have going on in the world right now, even from, just the overall climate to it's just on one single day, you get to see the Y represent. Everyone just being happy with each other.
I love that. And we all have to remind everybody, if you're listening to the podcast, because we do have ex-Yinzers, and you're coming back for Thanksgiving and you end up doing the Turkey Trot, it's a walk, it's a run, you can do whatever you want, but come up to us and say, how you doing, you jag off, right? Because that we know the phrase is a term of endearment, so that's how we want to do it. JB, how about your thoughts on the Turkey Trot? Do you have a favorite memory? You run and you knock somebody over. I don't know. Listen, I'm that way. Listen, when I used to run these 5Ks and I would see like there would be one person in front of me, I have to get that person. Then the next person, I have to get that person. But are you competitive or do you run? Do you walk? What do you do on the Turkey Trot day?
I mean, I'm competitive, but regrettably, I've never been to the Turkey.
Okay, all right.
But I get to see the impact on the other side.
So, nice. Beneficiary.
We're one of the sites for our community food bank. We do a food bank here once a month. Particularly during COVID, when we were one of the few facilities that stayed open because that need doesn't go away, and it was a critical need.
Yeah,
we had our distribution lines around the corner. So to know, to come in and see that kind of work being done, to make sure families get fed. That's the side I get to see of
that was such
the
a
impact
good answer.
Of the
You're gonna
turkey
make me
trot.
Cry. Gosh. Carolyn, how about you?
Oh, I have so many memories. I love to see the families who run in costume together, like
oh,
knife,
yeah, yeah.
fork,
right.
plate. I love all the turkey hats. I love the dogs. The dogs are out running in tutus. But for me, I think some of my best memories are, people come up to you and everybody, hi Carolyn, how are you doing? And I'm looking at them and they're sort of, if it's a really cold year, they're all muffled up. And I'm vaguely familiar and I'll be saying, hi, hi, hi. And I'll turn and I'll walk away and I'm going, who is that person? Because I'm not seeing
them
how I normally see them. And it happens to me every year. And a couple of times it's been like really big Pittsburgh celebrities, names, elected officials. You walk away and go, oh, that was I mean, everybody comes out for
That's
the turkey
so
trot.
Wonderful.
Everybody
I
does.
Love that.
We now see families tailgating after the run. They do, like, you know, hot chocolate tailgates. Even just our own staff who come and volunteer and bring, like, crock pots full of oatmeal.
Yeah.
It is just... It's tradition. And I think with the turkey trot, for me, it's one of those milestones in the year. You have Christmas, you have Easter, you have
sure.
the 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Thanksgiving. And, you know, turkey trot is, of course, we all gather for the meal. But the turkey trot first thing in the morning for me really, really makes the day. It's the marker for me. I put my turkey in the oven before I leave. I come, I run the turkey trot, I go back home, and I pull the turkey out.
Right.
It's...
That's
perfect.
A great point. Yeah. You've all touched on every one of what it encompasses. That's so, so true, because it's not just the race is sort of the figurative part, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the coming together and what it brings. Maria, your part is a little bit different because you're, again, like JB, you're sort of the behind the scenes. So what is it that you've heard from someone who has either donated or partaken in?
Yeah. So this is my first year working directly with the Turkey Trot, and I'm just so excited.
Don't make anything up, Maria. Don't make up
I'm
a story.
I'm not going to make it up. But the one story that I do have is when we started scheduling for the barrels to be all around the YMCAs, I have to work with our trucking team and operations. And they were like, oh, this is a lot. What's this for? And I said, the turkey trot. And they were like, yes, the turkey trot. We're so excited. We know all about it. And just the buzz of, you know, how many pounds are they going to bring in this year? And how many families are signed up to race? And it just seems like, you know, everyone knows about it and gets excited about it. I know, you know, since March 2020, over 80 tons of food has been collected. And so, you know, also the stories of us picking it up and the truckload coming in is just really incredible to hear and see how families really recognize, you know, not only is this a fun event, and but they're excited to give back, and what a day
That's
to
a good
do
point.
So.
Fun yeah. with purpose.
Sure.
Right.
Fun with purpose. I love it. I was going to say, John, so for number two, it's sort of an elective answer, don't you think?
Right. I would say, yeah. So do you guys have any superstitions in preparation for this? You know, as you know, do you get up a certain day? Well, Carolyn, you already said you put your turkey in the oven and whatever. Bruce, any?
But I'm going to add one.
Oh, go ahead.
Here's my secret, and I'm just going to share it with the whole world.
Oh, wow.
If you are not spatchcocking your turkey, you know.
We might
Everybody,
have to define that right now.
Spatchcock your turkey.
What is the? What? Bruce is looking at me like, what did she just say? She's my boss. I have to let her say that. But no, what is that?
So that's when you actually sort of cut it down the backbone and you know, lay it open flat, the turkey. And it, I'm sorry, it cooks much more evenly and quickly.
Really?
And it's, so it's more moist.
Is it like butterflying a filet mignon?
That's exactly it. You butterfly the whole damn turkey.
Go.
Wow. I'm not allowed to
that's,
say that.
I've never heard that. That's crazy.
So that's my tradition. When I started doing the turkey trot, that's when I spatchcocked my first turkey.
Okay.
There we go. Bruce?
I just wait for the little popper to pop. Seems a lot easier.
That is Bruce's tradition, to wait for the popper to stop. To pop up. That's funny. So we have a little bit of game here. So we need like a buzzer from each of you. You're like, yeah, you know. So first one in, because you will win prizes from Rachel, but she doesn't have them here today, but we'll make some up. All right. So we have three questions. So let's see who can do this. All right. You want to go home a winner, right? You do want to go home a winner.
We're competitive.
Yeah. All right. All right. So first question here, when was the first turkey trot and where was it? And where was it for an extra point? Oh, I think Carolyn was in.
I don't know exactly when, but it was Buffalo.
Buffalo. All right.
Buffalo,
Bruce, do you have an additional? Do you know when?
And like early 20th century, like 19 something.
I'm just going to agree with my boss. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 125 years ago. You're good.
Wow.
In Buffalo, yeah.
In Buffalo, yeah. You were totally right about that. And
I
it says
my wife
the inaugural the inaugural trot did take place there, and it was a local YMCA who hosted an 8K cross country. So there you go. Wow. Look at that double dip. That's good, you guys. You did great, you two together. All right. Can anyone? I feel like Bruce can't partake. Bruce can't partake in this. Yeah,
right,
Bruce,
right.
You're out.
Okay,
you don't
I'm
get
out.
To win.
No problem.
You're done.
We shot a video.
It was the tailgate, our precursor to the podcast. And we shot a tailgate where we had Scratch and Company, because we'll talk a little bit about that, right? But can anybody of the three of you, let's see if you watch any Jagoff stuff here, can anybody tell us two of the stuffings in the pierogi. Do you remember what Scratch put in the pierogi? No, it's a Yinzer pierogi. Look at them. They didn't watch you, Bruce. Bruce, there's no...
Potato?
Okay, one. What's another one? Because that was easy. Yeah, another one? Anybody?
Cranberries?
It was. Yeah, cranberries was one. Yeah, but yeah. There were other ones, too. They did stuffing.
Stuffing.
They did cranberry.
Stuffing.
They did traditional mashed pumpkin.
I had the pumpkin, so I could
Yeah, go ahead.
That was crazy, crazy good. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. And they did an apple, right? Wasn't there an apple dumpling? Right. Yeah. I mean, so you need to go to Scratch.
You can have pierogies for the beginning of the meal and the end of the meal.
So true. Oh, so true. Well, I was going with go to Scratch, so you don't have to do it. Yeah. They do an amazing job. The only other thing, let's do a quick let's make a deal. Does anybody have something Turkey Trot related on them? Maria. Listen, you're all tied up. You're all tied up. No, that's too good. So we want to add a couple of things. You know, John and I are super excited that we get to partake this year and that we're going to be on site. But two things that are new. One, we get to have a relationship with Scratch and Company, who's amazing, who you guys have graciously introduced us to. And we are actually going to have a little Yinzer style meal. John, you're kind of spearheading this because it's your crazy concoction.
Right. I was all about stuffing a turkey with Isley's chipped ham, right? But Scratch took this to another level. They are doing the ultimate Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to Scratch to make a little video of this. But the pierogies, as you go backwards, you're listening to this podcast, go back to the Facebook page and Instagram page on Thursday and watch it. The pierogies were absolutely amazing. Like, they made a pierogi stuffed with mashed potatoes, JB, and with gravy on top of them. It was so good. It was like carb, carb, carb. And, you know, like, okay, I don't even know what I'm going to do right now other than go take a nap.
Leslie would say walk, 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 walk.
Come on the turkey trot.
There you go.
Yes. So the turkey trot is Thanksgiving Day. There are so many options. Like, you cannot chicken or turkey out by of not coming. So Bruce, tell everybody there's a 5 mile walk, there's a 5K. We're not getting home to eat turkey till around 12, but we're going to be so hungry by the time we get home.
The turkey trot Thanksgiving morning. We have the 1 mile family fun walk, the 5K, the 5 mile, and then what we call the double gobble, which is the 5 mile and a 5K. And there's all kind of different avenues you can register. You Google, if you search YMCA Turkey Trot, you can run the race virtually. So if travel is not part of what your family is doing this year, but you still, yeah, you can still register. In fact, we have 34 states registered, people from 34 different states, and you know what we find is they typically, you know, have participated before and they're not coming in for, you know, whatever reason, whether it's COVID or whatnot, but they still want to participate, so they're going to run virtually. Also once you're on the website, you can do one of three things for us. You can register virtually and to be in person. We always need volunteers for packet pickup,
right,
before and even on race day, whether that's working water station or being a marshal.
What is the route? By the way,
It has changed this year. P3R did an amazing job of kind of doing some different spacing and looking at the city and saying, how can we have people not kind of crossing each other? So with safety in mind, keeping that. But that is on the website, the route. And then the other thing is if you can't participate for whatever reason, but you still want to support the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank.
Yeah.
Look at that. Nailed it, Bruce.
Got it. And the YMCA, you can make a donation. And then also for packet pickup and even race day, most of the people know this, but if it's your first time, we also are accepting food donations that day. And on the website is, you know, what is accepted and what isn't.
That's so perfect. This is so great. This is the perfect culmination. We didn't do a question of the day because there's so much information and you guys each kind of had to weigh in on everything. But the second part that we think is kind of cool is we're working with P3R. Am I saying that right? Because that's the one that I sometimes sound like 3CPO.
I
from,
do too. Actually,
from
I get
Star Wars,
all the,
right?
All the time.
Yeah. So they're fabulous, as you said, as well, because we're trying to put together a downloadable, you know, a music set essentially of local musicians. And I have to say, of the 12 who we reached out to, 9 of them are in. So we have quite the soundtrack that's downloadable, as well as P3R kind of saying, hey, this is where we are in the race. So that'll be a really cool new addition this year that we're really excited about.
I think it's so nice, especially for those who are running virtually.
Yes.
You can pretend like you're crossing the Roberta Clemente
and hear
Bridge.
Great music. Yeah. And so speaking of great music, JB, we'll put you on the spot again. The music is from a group from here, right? It's a chorus. The Lighthouse.
I mean, it's actually one of our teaching artists, Inez,
right.
And two of our alumni who graduated through the
program.
That's
a chorus. 3 year equal a chorus.
There you go. So, yeah.
And that's great because they're actual people who have used the facility, right?
That's right.
And we're going to use them on the downloadable soundtrack as well. So
sweet.
There you go. I love it. You guys, thank you all so much for coming. Where does everybody follow everybody so that we know that we can gain audience participation virtually and online? Where does everybody go to actually, they could still register for the Turkey Trot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carolyn.
No, no, you go ahead.
No, me. I'll tell you. No.
Yeah, they can register online. As Bruce said earlier, just, you know, YMCA of Greater Pittsburgh. .org is our YMCAPGH.org is our website, and yeah, go right there. It's right on the main page.
How late can they register? Like up until, I mean, they can literally register that morning.
You can register morning up.
Yeah, absolutely. We take registrations all the way up until about 5 minutes before start. There's always that person kind of like throwing their stuff down and getting in line, and you know, they're
lacing up their sneakers.
Yeah, and they're ready to go. Absolutely, all the way up through race day.
And I'll tell you what, Rachel and I are going to be there that day. If you wear something Jagoff related, like come dressed as a Jagoff, come dressed as Tom Brady, come dressed as a Baltimore Raven fan or whatever. We'll have some fun out of that because maybe we'll give you a prize too. All right, so we have to thank all of you guys and for first of all involving us.
Where everybody follows Greater Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, well, on that same website, you could actually learn more about Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and go straight to our website, pittsburghfoodbank.org, which is really wonderful because you can, you know, support us on there. But also if you need help getting food to make your Thanksgiving meal complete, we can help you sign up online
as
well.
It's cool. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I will add to that, John, if you come dressed as a Jagoff, once the race begins, this just in from our legal department, we cannot guarantee your safety.
Right.
There's a lot of bridges and underpasses. It's just a lot of things can happen
around
the course.
Someone just happens to drop in the river. Right. Yeah. Gotcha. I gotcha. So thank you to you all for involving us as a media sponsor. We've been so excited to do this, and it's such a big Pittsburgh tradition, and we love it. So thank you. And thank you to Tracy and Colin, who helped us put it together. Andrew is behind the scenes of the video we did the other day and behind the scenes here, always helping us, but refuses to come on camera. But we are going to get him to play hockey. Yeah. And thanks, everybody. Thanks, again, to the YMCA. And we did not get P3R here, but really, they are the ones, iconic race creators, because they create experiences during
races.
They say
they're the engine behind Pittsburgh's great races.
And that makes sense.
That.
So yeah, that makes total sense. So,
and truth be told, they actually, John, I know it's your show. They actually have a race today, and that's why they couldn't do it. So it's crazy because they are always busy, and we're lucky that we get to work with them as well. So you can start reading our end. All right. Thanks, as always, to Roark Honda. Roark Honda houses an inventory of pre-owned certified cars. But like Christmas coming, the dealership in Bloomfield just received a few new CRVs as well as passports just in time.
To partake in the Jagoffs, hop in to go shop in Black Friday contest with the Mullet Robinson. Yes, Roark Honda is going to pick you up, you and 3 friends, in the Roark Honda Odyssey, and we're going to take you Black Friday shopping. And you get 4 $100 gift cards from the Mullet Robinson, and we're going to record that as that week's podcast. So get on, tell us your story, tell us why you and your 3 friends deserve to be taken to Black Friday shopping, and we will be a part of that. And of course, when you have a vehicle need, go to Roark.com.
The heartbeat of the bees, I don't think the people see the beauty beneath the breeze. Kings and queens, they walk these streets, no matter where I where I go, this is all I know, this is where I
for a better peace, yeah. These sidewalks that I walk, I know it gotta start with me, yeah. Gotta start with we, all of us, family, street signs attached to memories. I close my eyes and all I see, after school trips to Mr. Baker's, Dana's Donuts double glazed up, EBX straight downtown, let's stop, homeward station, my only motivation. Teddy's beautiful brown babies. If I is dead, then they can make it. Hold your head, stay true, stay blue, baby. Yeah. The heartbeat of the bees. I don't think the people see the beauty beneath the bees. Kings and queens that walk these trees. No matter where I am, no matter where I go, this is all I know. This is where I go.
The Dodge, just another young thug, says the man of the law, but I was on the field when they handed it off, running laps, walking home with my cleats on my feet, running back what they told me, I would be nothing more, I ain't know my worth and I ain't realize what was in store, sold my gift short with ball, I got a dozen more, you gotta love the core of Pittsburgh, so much greatness, innovated, don't get hurt, be the voice of the people, catch this word, it's a choice, press deeper till you hit nerve, yeah. Born in the heart of the city, the way I started, I'm always hitting my target is litty. The hood boiling the hot and it made me partially gritty. Spark purpose and younger Sean was already in it. My spark purpose and younger Sean was already in it.
Showcase gonna give me some free corporate. Yeah, real stuff. I can't either. I love that corporate, boy.